Let it shine on me. Let the light from God's lighthouse shine on me. Oh, let it shine on me. Let it shine on me. Let the shine on me, let it shine on me. Yes, Lord, let it shine.
Oh, let it shine.
Hallelujah. On me, let the light from God's lighthouse shine. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just feel your precious Holy Spirit, Lord, and to feel your presence, Lord, just to feel the moving of the Holy Spirit, Lord, and to know that you're ever with us, Lord, and you're ever mindful of your people. And Lord, we just are so thankful for the time that you have given us this evening to come in and together with you, Lord, around this precious word that you've given us. And Lord, we just ask that you would bless it, Lord. Lord, just let it all be to your glory and to your honor. And Lord, just in a man I can do nothing. But Lord, I just ask you to just take over this body and to speak your word, Lord, in a way that it would be beneficiary to your people, Lord, that you would receive the glory. And we ask it all in the lovely, precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask these things. Amen. Don't you love him? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Oh, he's so precious to us. My, pray each one of us was really glad to be out this evening. Really glad to have the opportunity to come and together. It's cold outside and, you know, winter's set in. And sometimes these old bones get cold. But oh my, the sunlight ought to be shining down on the inside. There ought to be a love, you know. It's not about just coming to church. But oh, there's just something about when you can come in and you know you're coming to fellowship with him. And oh, you come in and you feel his presence around you. Oh my, there's nothing like it in the world. Just a feeling. Woo, yeah. Speak to your heart. My, isn't he precious? Hallelujah. While we're still standing, let's just turn our Bibles over to John, the first chapter, for a very familiar scripture. Amen. I know our brother just read this Sunday night, and it may seem kind of strange, but you know, there ain't nothing you can't read we ain't heard before. Amen. And I believe this word is inspired, and it'll help someone. I just pray these little thought the Lord laid upon my heart. I just pray that may it strengthen someone, help someone somewhere along the way. May it just do whatever God seemed fit for it to do in his plan. He had a purpose for it. Oh, it's just great to serve a living God. Amen. Amen. Here in John, the first chapter, in the first verse, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. And then the 14th verse says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. May the Lord add the blessing to the reading of his Word, and you may be seated. And if you would, let's go ahead and turn over to Hebrews, the 4th chapter, and read a portion of Scripture here. Amen. Just pray this. Just try not to hold you very long this evening. It's just a little short text, but just something to pay attention to as we journey through this life. You know, so many's caught up in the, they just go to church. It's church night. It's Sunday morning. It's Thursday night, whatever it may be. But I pray in each one of our hearts, it's more than just going to church life, being a Christian just every day. But you know, I believe God has got a special people, amen, all over this earth that's feeling that draw and that tug down in their heart. You know, their eyes aren't on the things of this earth. It's good to watch what's happening in Israel. It's good to see these things taking place and realize it's shaping up. But oh, may we be looking at our lives, because that's the only assurance that we know. It don't matter what happens over there. That's in God's hands. But what's happening in my life, I want to know. I want to make sure it's lining up with that word and right in tune with what God's doing in this day, in this hour. Making sure I'm on track. Amen. Making sure I'm up in that move. Hallelujah. Here in Hebrews, the 4th chapter. Let me grab my notes. Amen. Hallelujah. Hebrews 4th chapter and the 12th and 13th. We'll just read the 12th verse. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, when our prophet was here, come on the scene, he stressed that Jesus Christ was identified the same in all ages. What he done back there, he would do all up through time. He would forever be identified by the same works that he done. He would never stop. He would continue on. And here in this day we live, and we've seen him come to Abraham and discerned Sarah's thoughts and told her. And she was in the tent behind him, and she just laughed to herself. But oh, the Holy Spirit caught that and said, why did she laugh? He didn't hear her with his natural ear. But oh, it was strong God. Amen. The word was standing there. Hallelujah. My, the importance of realizing that he's always been, always will be. Amen. And he's not less today or greater today than he was yesterday. He's the same all the time. Amen. And then we can come up to when Jesus come on the scene. And I'd like to read here. This is in a very familiar book. When their eyes were opened, they knew him. Preached this February the 12th, 64. And I'd like to just read the little quotation that's on the back of the book that come out of here. And it says, all the preaching and all the teaching and everything else he had done had failed. But when he revealed himself doing the same thing he did before his crucifixion, they knew it was him, and it opened their eyes. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, they weren't looking. He walked with him. In the little text here, Brother Branham speaking of them as the two apostles walked with him on the road to Emmaus. And he talked with them all along the way. But all but when he done the same thing that they had seen him do, they knew it was him. It was a true identification. They knew. There it was. Amen. And I'd like to read this. Brother Branham, this is on page 12. I'm going to begin here about the 72nd paragraph. Just bear with me. I'm going to read this. It's a little bit lengthy. But I want you to watch when Jesus come to this little woman at the well. And very familiar story, and been exhorted on many times, but I just want to take it a little different channel tonight and just pay attention to what Brother Branham says here. He says, but what did he do? How did he make himself known to them? Because he did the same things that he did before his crucifixion, and they know that was him because he had raised from the dead. All the preaching and all the teaching and everything else he had done had failed. But when he revealed himself doing the same thing he did before his crucifixion, they know it was him. It opened their eyes. And brother, sister, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he changes not. Just as he did the woman at the well, he never changes his program. Now this little woman at the well, she knew the scripture and promise for that day. And notice when he come to that little woman at the well, he said at Sychar, he said, woman, bring me a drink. And she said, why, it's not customary for you Jews to ask us Samaritans such as that. And he said, but if you knew who were speaking to you, you would ask for me a drink. And well, then she thought, some smart aleck, so I'll just question him a little bit. And she said, went to question him. And just imagine, just an ordinary man probably looked like to her. He was sitting there in the flesh, dust probably on him. His feet was probably dirty from traveling. Sitting there beside that well, and all she seen was just a, probably looked like a dirty traveler sitting there. She went to question him, and directly he said, "Go get your husband and come here." And she said, "I don't have a husband." I said, "That's right. You've had five, and the one you're living with now is not your husband." Watch quickly what it did do. It got in quickly. She knowed something, said, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." Amen. See, there was a seed laying there to come to life. And there was a switch there that would turn on that light. To them Pharisees, it was darkness to begin with. No switch, no batteries, no nothing else. But to this man, this woman, little prostitute, she said, "Sir, oh my, just think of that now. And I want you to look at what he'd done." He could have picked out many things of her life to point it out to her. But you watch what the Holy Spirit always will point out is the sin that's in your life. You pay attention to that. That was the first thing you watch of all the prayer lines Brother Branham had, of all the things you watch, that discernment, it would catch that. So you go make that right and God will heal you. You watch the Holy Spirit call. It didn't honeycoat it. It didn't try to cover up that sin. Many things Jesus could have used. Why many people that day could have got indignant and said, "Well, I'll have you know I ain't got five husbands," and tried to lie to the Holy Spirit. But she knowed something greater than she was in the presence of something. And it called her out. Amen. Did it make her cringe? Oh, I'm sure it probably twinged a little bit down on the inside. But just listen. He says, but sir, why? She was looking for the manifestation of the word. 400 years since Malachi, they had had no prophets. And here was a man that was manifested to be a prophet. Quickly, she knowed that was something. She said, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." And she said, "We know that when the Messiah cometh, that's going to be what he does." And he said, "I am he that speaks to you." And now he can reveal himself. She had already received him. He was on the inside now, see? He can make himself known. But I want you to look at that situation. And look down through the scriptures at the different times. Discernment was used. Peter with Ananias and Sapphira. And oftentimes, we get our eye upon the man. You get to looking at that. It's a gift of God. Don't ever forget that. The gift of discernment is a gift of God, and it works today just as strong as it did the day Brother Branham was here. Or when Jesus Christ was here on this earth in the flesh. But I want you to pay attention now to watch God. When Brother Branham come on the scene, God began to use that gift of discernment. Why? To attract the people's attention. He wanted it. Out there, he was fixing to bring and to reveal himself, and he was trying to catch a bride's attention that was on the earth at that time. Pay attention, hearken to me. Just like he did this little woman at the well, he had come, and he was reaching to catch attention. And at that time, it was Jesus Christ in the flesh, and there he was. And look at the things he'd done, and it drawed the attention of the people for the movement at that time. Brother Branham come on the scene, and God once again vindicating himself in that spirit. Manifested through man and spoke many different things of discernment and spoke out time and time and time again. Matter of fact, let's just read one of those times. Amen. I want you to pay attention to this as we go. Just want you to dwell upon this because sometimes we overlook the moving of the Holy Spirit sometimes. And if we'll always take heed and pay attention to what the Spirit is doing, God can deal with our hearts greater if we're looking at it in the right manner. As he says here, this is in the Church Age book, page 302. And I'm just going to start here. It says, "How many of you would like to see Jesus come down amongst us and do the same things that he did when he was here on earth not long ago?" They all wanted. That is one thing they surely agreed on. I then went on, "If Jesus by his Spirit," this is when he was over in, I believe it was South Africa with the Mohammedans. And he says, "Here was that Muhammad woman in front of me. The Spirit began to move through me. And I said to her, 'Now you know that I don't know you and I can't even speak your language.' And she admitted that. And I said, 'As for your healing, you know I cannot. But you heard the message this afternoon and understood me.' And her Indian interpreter answered back to her that she understood, for she had read the New Testament. Now the Mohammedans are descendants of Abraham and they believe in one God, but they reject Jesus as the Son of God. And instead they take Muhammad as his prophet and they say that Jesus never died and rose again, and they are taught that by their priest they believe it.
And I said, but Jesus did die and rise again, and he sent his spirit back upon the church, and that spirit was in him, this very same spirit. In the church now, it can and will produce what Jesus produced. And he said, John 5:19, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do, for that's what things whatsoever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Now then, if Jesus will come and reveal to me what your trouble is, or what you are here for, if he can tell me what your past is, surely you can believe for the future. And she said through her interpreter, yes, I can. Now the word had caught her attention. But Jesus was here through our prophet, wanting to make and show himself greater, wanting to show what he could do. But just watches his manifestations coming through the prophet here. And he says, then the Holy Spirit spoke, your husband is a short, heavy-set man with a black mustache, and you have two children, and you were at the doctor's about 3 days ago, and he gave you an examination, and you have a cyst on the womb. She bowed her head and said, that is true. I asked her, how is it you came to me a Christian? Why didn't you go to your Muhammad prophet? And she said, I think you can help me. And I said, I can't help you, but if you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, he who is here now knows all about you, and he'll help you. And she said, I accept Jesus as my Savior. And that did it. She was healed. And about 10,000 Muhammadans came to Christ that day because the gospel was preached in both word and power. God never told a man to labor 30 years and harvest nothing. He gave us the open door of word and power. And that is what we're supposed to use. Amen. I want you to look, saints. The prophet was here and that gift was operating to attract that bride's attention. Now the prophet has moved off the scene. And Brother Branham said the prophet for this day is the Word. He's here in word form. He was here in flesh once. Those very same words that's written on that page. He had to come to, when he come to earth, all his actions was written down. When you look at God, in the beginning he was the Word. And he wanted to be manifested. And how look down through the ages of all it took to manifest him, to put him to here today. That he could re-again manifest himself through a people. By the word that here coming alive in their hearts and their lives. He himself bringing it alive. And that gift of discernment, saints, is still operating even in the church. But we often fail to miss it. We fail to, we overlook it so many times. Because it said the word is a discerner of the thoughts. God is that discerner, not no man. It is a gift of God that discerns the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And that's why so many times you may come into a service. And the word of God begins to come. And it feels like he knows your situation. The minister, maybe, it don't matter who's ministering, but maybe it feels like he knows your situation. He knows what you've done, knows where you've been and what's took place in your life. And he may not know a thing, but God does. And that is that discernment coming through the word, discerning your heart, your life, judging you, telling you, this is your problem right here. I'm telling you. That's the Holy Spirit. He's on the inside. And he's up here coming together, bringing to show you, this is what needs mended. Just like that little woman at the well when he told her, go get your husband. And then she didn't. Oh my, it was over then. Amen. She didn't know she had found what she was looking for. She was tired of all that she had seen. All the many things that was going on in that day. The priests thought they were so holy and thought they were so righteous and had the law and couldn't live it. And didn't live, and as long as they made their sacrifice once a year, their sins was covered. But their lives was a staunch in God's nostrils, the prophet even said. How they just, when he come and began to bring the word, they rejected him, and they didn't want nothing to do with the word that was coming. Why? Because it was calling out the little things in their heart and in their life. And it's no different today. People reject the Holy Spirit because they don't want that down on the inside, pulling out those dark, deep things that's in their life, the little things that need to be overcome, the things that need to be done away with. They don't want the Holy Spirit down in there digging those out. They don't want the Holy Spirit moving in their life like that. They want a Savior, as our prophet said in remembering the Lord. Everybody wants a Savior, but nobody wants a Lord. Where he is, he owns you. You are his property, and he is taking you over and bringing his life into you. But that's why people don't want the heat of the word, and they don't realize that when it's the heat of the word, it's not the man bringing the word. It's not any certain minister. But it's the Holy Spirit vindicating the word that's here. And if there is sin in the midst of a congregation or in my life, and I find my little elect, and that sin, the Lord is going to call it out. He's going to bring that word right down my alley. And he's going to pinpoint me down and tell me, You better get it out. You better make it right. You better get it overcome. I don't take a man telling us. A man can tell you that's not going to do any good, but when the word comes and begins to cut in there, and the word begins to dig in there, and you feel that little uncomfortable feeling maybe down on the inside, this needs to overcome, and nobody else may know nothing about it, but you go home and lay down at night and you feel it stirring in there. Oh, I need this. Oh, I guess. Or maybe it's a revelation you just don't want to accept. Maybe it's the changing of the soul and you're just fighting it. Or maybe it's polygamy or whatever it would be and you're just fighting that thing and don't want it in your heart. You don't want it in your life. Oh, but oh, mine, but the Holy Spirit, if you're a genuine, it'll be in there just a working and a churning. And you can't get no rest from it. It'll bother you. And you may come back to service two or three nights later, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit come right down again with the same word and hit it again. Why? He's going to root it out. Why? He knows what our thoughts. He knows what's in our hearts. And he knows what we need. And he left his word here to do that. Amen. And if you sit in a congregation or sit in a church and you never feel the judgment of the Lord, you never feel that the power of the anointing of that word coming down and digging in your life, there's something wrong. Amen. There's a good possibility the Holy Spirit ain't backing that word up. There ain't no anointing there to bring it to you. And that's why you better run. You better make sure you're sitting where the Holy Ghost is bringing the word that will fortify you behind the word, not holding on to a man's creed, not holding on to some man's doctrine, or saying, I believe it like this because this brother does or that brother does. But no, it's got to line up with every word. And if it don't line up in that Bible or what our prophets already said, it wasn't just Brother Branham, it was Jesus Christ himself bringing that word back to a people in this day, but people want to just lay it off as a man. It's man, it's man, it's God in this hour. And the same God that came down and spoke to Abraham and Sarah, the same God that walked on this earth and walked by the sores and created the fishes and the loaves of bread is the same God that's here today bringing this word and going to bring it to a manifestation in a people's heart and lives. But they've got to look at it and see that it's God. It ain't. They've got to totally lose eyesight of any man standing on a platform. Anybody, it's God. It's God alone. We've got to get back to looking and seeing. It's God that's working on my heart. So many people just want to lay it off. That's a man's opinion. That's a man's idea when the word cuts or the word pinches. But no, we better check and make sure that it's not. We better get in there and see if it's written in the word. We better toe the mark and make sure, Lord, help me to overcome this in my life. But it's important, saints, to pay attention to the word as it comes. And listen, don't always push it off. That's for brother so-and-so. He needs to hear that. Sister so-and-so, she ought to hear that. But oh, it's me, oh Lord, that stands in the need of prayer. As long as we're on this earth, there's higher heights for each and every one of us. And it might have been that one moment you was wishing he would preach to somebody else that you should have been listening and the word come that you needed. In my heart, your life, it don't matter. I'm not exempt from this. I'm preaching to myself as I preach to you. We must see the importance of this. The Holy Spirit is moving right in line, saint. You can see the crying out of the new birth. What else? What's lacking? What is missing so much? The baptism of the Holy Ghost. The leading of the Holy Spirit in the churches. It's gone. What's it crying? The Holy Spirit's crying, get back to that original. Get back to that leading of the Holy Spirit. Lose the following men, or I just go to this church, or I just go to that church. That's what he came crying out when he came the first time. Get out of them denominations and the message churches want to group together. We'll believe it like this and we'll believe it like that. No. It's back to what thus saith the Lord right down the line. And that's what it's got to be. And the power of God is still here today to vindicate and to call out sin as it sees it coming forth. And the man may know nothing about it and preach a message and someone get offended because they think the man was picking on him and don't fail to realize that God was trying to tell him and straighten him out. My saints, we ought to look. What if that little woman at the well would have thought, well, I ain't going to let him know my business. I ain't going to say nothing. No, she knew. And every individual that ever comes in contact with the Holy Spirit knows. But that's our chance to either reject it and say, I want nothing to do with it. Or, Lord, let it be to me according to thy will. My saints, we, each one of us here and anyone that may listen to this, we need to learn to toe the mark. It's not what I think or what you think or what any man thinks, but it's what's written in this word. We often say, Brother Branham, we often exhort, it's what Brother Branham said. It's what God said. We say, Brother Branham, because we realize God said he would not speak to his people lip to ear no more, but only through a prophet. And through that, we realize that God was speaking to his people through the prophet William Aaron Branham for this day. My hallelujah. Oh, saints, God is going to move. Hallelujah. You can see it coming. You can see, you can hear, you can feel the wind in the mulberry trees. You can feel the movement of the Holy Spirit and know, whoa, mine, I want to be right up in it. Amen. And don't think that I'm saying God doesn't use men with actual just a gift of discernment today, because he can. It's still just as well. He can pull any man and use a man and come down and through spirit and lay right out what the situation may be. But oh, you watch the word. I want you to pay attention to that more at this point. Is you watch how the word digs things out. You watch how the word will weed things out. And people don't have to do nothing about it. A man don't have to know about it. He don't have to get up and build a whole sermon around one little thing trying to root it out of his church, and you better toe the mark or I'm going to throw you out. No. You watch that leading of the Holy Spirit as it comes in. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel like I missed a quote here. Hallelujah. Amen. But oh, I pray we're each one feeling that in our hearts, feeling that press. You've got to... You know, many of you is older than I am. You've been around a lot longer than I have. But it doesn't matter how old you are. We must. Each one of us, young, old, is when we reach that point and begin to realize God's dealing with us. We better learn to fall in and to stay with that word. Hallelujah. Because my saints, God is going to move in his people. Hallelujah. This here is in, I believe this is it. This is in Lean Not Unto Thine Own Understanding, preached in 65, preached, I don't have a date on it, looks like January 20th, 65, about paragraph 34. Just listen to Brother Branham as he's speaking here. He says, "And I think it would be a good exhortation today if we said to our sons and to the sons of God that it's all right to have an education, and there is nothing against that. But when the education is contrary to the word of God, then lean in education will stand and will give you a... Then lean to the word and let your education go." See, because the word probably a good standing amongst... Amen. Let me back up and start. It's all right to have an education. There is nothing against that. But when education is contrary to the word of God, then lean to the word and let your education go. See, because the word... Probably, the word and education will stand and will give you a good job. Probably a good standing amongst intellectual people, but that's all right, which will probably be a great help to you and a help to you in your financial and your livelihood, making a living maybe a little better for you. But remember one thing, my son, you've got to die. And no matter how much education you got, how much culture you are able to accumulate, you've yet got to face death, because it is written that man must die. And after that, judgment. And death is not so bad, but coming to judgment, that is the bad part. Now, you can die, but after that judgment, God is not going to inquire of you how much schooling you got when you were here on earth and how much knowledge you accumulated and whether you got your Bachelor of Art or whatever degree you might have been, even as a minister. It's not going to be required of you. But it's going to be required of you what you did about the understanding of God's word. That's where the requirement comes. Because your education is fine, but the word of God is life. My word is life, and to know it is life. And not just to, people can make a schooling out of this message, of learning it. How, where's the paragraphs, where's the quotes, and they get it so memorized, and they can remember all the little things that happened, and what dates, and where this was, and what that was. They want it so built up in themselves, and they fail to realize it's the simplicity of the revelation of God that come out of that precious word. And that's what brings the life. Not how much I know what's on them pages, but it's how much of that word that's inside of me. Amen. Hallelujah. Bringing his own word to life. Hallelujah. And to know my word is life, and to know it is life. And he said to know him. He is the word. So you can only know him by the word, for he is the word. And that's the only way you'll know him, is by his word. Somebody could come up and say, this is God, or that's God, or this is God, or this is right, and that's right. But we come back to the word, which is the truth. And the word is just like the North Star. It's a true star. No matter which way the world is afloating, the North Star is centered with the earth. You set your compass to the North Star, and it's always like the center of the earth. Other stars float around with the world, but the North Star stays stable. Now the compass is the Holy Spirit, and your tie post would be the North Star. So the Holy Spirit will never lead you to anything else but the Word of God. So how could a man accept a creed when it's contrary to the Word and then still say he has the Holy Ghost? I didn't say that. Brother Branham, God said that through Brother Branham. You take and accept the creed. I'll believe that. We'll stand on this and say you got the Holy Ghost. I didn't say it. No one else did. Brother Branham said it by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And he says here, the Holy Ghost will point you away from that. And it takes the Holy Spirit to point you to the Word, for He is the Word. He is the Word, and it can only, as the magnetic in a compass is only set towards the North Pole, that's the only way it can draw. And when the Holy Spirit is the author and writer and the quickener of the Word, how can it point that person to anything else but the Word? So when a person says they have the Holy Ghost and accepts something contrary to the Word, it shows that ain't the genuine Holy Ghost they got. See? It may be a ghost. I wouldn't dispute that. But it isn't the Holy Ghost of Christ. You know, many times they take one another's spirit so that they might point in like a group of men to a certain thing. But it won't point to Christ. But the Holy Spirit will always point to Christ. And Christ is the Word. And we see this so plainly in the Bible. Or I do, he says. Hallelujah. If you can see what he was saying truly for yourself, you ought to be so thankful. He says, maybe I might be wrong, but in my thinking, but I don't think so. Because that is, lean not to your own understanding of things. If you lean to your own understanding, then you're bound to get off the right road. You can't lean to anyone else's understanding when it comes to life. To find life, you've got to lean to the Word, and that's life. Amen. And I pray, saints, that each one of us will toe the mark and pay attention to the Holy Spirit and to search that Word and to make sure that I'm not holding on to a past creed. Because I believe it's in Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Hey, amen. I didn't mark it. But it's in there that Brother Branham said to hold on to a man's creed makes you a whore to God. Makes you against the Word of God. And my saints, how precious it ought to be if I'm setting in a service and I don't feel the feeding of the Word, if I don't feel the satisfaction of the Holy Spirit moving with me and dealing in my heart, it's wonderful to have great song services and to feel the Spirit move. That's all good. But oh, that's easy to come. That's just the blessings of God. But oh, Brother Branham said it was a frightful thing to get into the presence of God. If you remember when he talked of Isaiah, when he come and he got into the presence of God and he said, oh, I am a man of unclean lips. Oh, my, to see the Spirit and to feel that. That's why it feels, sometimes it may feel hot. The Word may feel like it's really bearing down. But that's that sun drawing out any greenness that's left in us. Any greenness that's left in me. And I pray that God will continue to draw it out and to pull it and make me what He would have me be. I don't want to sit in a service and always hear how good I am and how great of a Christian I am and how good I'm going to heaven. That's all fine if my life's backing it up. But if I'm wearing short skirts and got my hair trimmed and all these different things and try to sit in a message church and think I'm going to a rapture, I'm badly fooled. But oh, and ministers don't say nothing about it. They let it go on, or they may say something about it, but they don't let the Spirit's not there to push that thing and to drive it down into a people's heart. Why? Because the minister's not that feeling that conviction of the Holy Spirit to bring it. But oh my, you watch when the Holy Spirit begins to move, it don't matter. It's always been right there to cut and to chop at sin and call it out. It didn't matter where it was or whose life it was in. The Holy Spirit always just moves right down the line. And my saints, I pray that as we see it move into our hearts, into our lives, if the Word comes and it cuts or it hurts, may we take it and humbly say, Lord, lift me up to those higher heights. Lift me up, Lord, and let me stand. My, I don't know about you, saints, but I see the closing in of time, and so many people still, everyone thinks they're right. Everybody that goes to church thinks they've got the right. But oh, there's only one right, and it's called the Bible. The Word, the genuine Word of God, and then what He spoke through the prophet. And it don't matter who you are, who I am, we can't change what's written on them pages. The way it's written is the way God wanted it. And I believe that just as much as I believe this Bible was written the way God wanted it wrote. And my, we can't take from it or add to it, but all we can say is, Lord, conform me to Your image. Lord, take my life in Your hands and draw me in. You sisters may come to the instruments. But I pray that we'll pay attention Because that spirit is the discerner of the thoughts and the hearts. That word will cut, it'll pinch, and it may feel like someone's been talking about you. Somebody's been telling on me. Somebody's been this, that, and nobody may have ever said a word. But God knows all things. Amen. He sees all things. The all-seeing eye is watching you. My saints, I don't know about you, but I just want to stay in this move that you see God doing. I don't know what God's going to do. It might be the coming of the Lord tomorrow morning. You know, they're claiming the world's going to end December 21st, I believe it is. I said, that's one day I know it ain't going to happen. But it might happen the day before. It might happen the day after. It could happen anywhere. But oh my, it'll come as a thief in the night and catch them so many unawares because they thought it was still going to be so much time. You know, so many ministers still feel it's years to come. Oh, it's going to, and it may be 5, 6, 7, 8 years. Who knows? But we better be looking, because when you least expect him, that's when he's going to come. He'll come as a thief in the night, amen, and we don't know the day or the hour. But oh my, I just know I want to make sure my life is lining up. Not what all the rest of the church lines up with. I want to make sure I'm lined up. I want my brother to go. I want my sister to go. But I better be making sure my life is lining up, word upon word, line upon line, matching up with what God's got for me in this hour. Oh, it's an individual affair. And may each one of us run to obtain that prize. Hallelujah. I pray it's burning in our hearts. I pray that there's little bride all over that's burning in their heart. And to press in, to press on, to move on. And you may said, I've sat in a church where no one else cared at times. Where it just seemed like everything was, oh, we're good. And that attitude is so easy to catch a hold of. Just, oh, it's okay. Don't worry about it. You'll overcome it. No. There ought to be a press. The Holy Spirit ought to be pressing it into our hearts. Get those things under the blood. Get them overcome. And move forward. Don't stay still, but keep reaching up higher for higher heights. And I pray that each one of us feels that in our hearts. Feels that pressing. Feels that burning. Move on. Come on up higher, son. I've got more for you. More like this. Hallelujah. Because I believe he's coming back like he said. If you don't mind, I'd like to stand and we'll sing that before our brother comes. It's been burning on my heart. Amen. Do you believe he's coming back? Amen. Just like he said. Hallelujah. And he said he'd be coming for that little bride that would be dressed in his righteousness, clothed with his, all of his attributes. Oh, my. May we be ready and watching. Amen. I believe he's coming back like he said. Sounds so loud one day to wake the dead. In the twinkling of an eye, he's gonna split those eastern skies, and I believe he's coming back like he said. Amen. I believe he's coming back.
About it. Amen. Loving the appearing of the Lord. Isn't that what the word said? Amen. Loving the appearing of the Lord. Now, how could you ever love the appearing of the Lord unless you really knew for sure that you was going in? Amen. Amen. Then you're going to love it. But if you ain't sure, You're wanting to hold off. Wait. But when you get really assured in your heart, you're going to love it. Amen. And I believe he's coming back just like he said. Amen. That voice is going to sound so loud. One day it's going to raise the dead. Amen. I'm looking forward to it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. A lot of wonderful things said there tonight. And I pray that we'll take heed to it. Amen. You know, over the years of ministering, I don't know how many times I've had people come to me, and oftentimes when I'm ministering, I'll maybe speak things that don't even know I was ever going to say it. And sometimes I get done, don't know I really did say it. And people come up to me and say, "Who told you about that? Did somebody tell you about me doing this or something?" I mean, a lot of times over the years, I said, "Well, no, I didn't know anything about you doing that." "Well, you sure preached right at me." You know? But what was this? The Holy Ghost. And if that little seed's laying out there and the words, the full true word is there, it's going to go right down in. It's sharper, more powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. And it's going to cut out. It's going to cut and it's going to clean you out, friend. Amen. And it's not the man. It's the Holy Ghost. Amen. And Paul said, "I don't come to you in excellency of speech, but in the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit." Amen. Well, that's the Holy Spirit operating when that happens. You aren't up here speaking in excellency of speech. You know, like Brother Timothy has mentioned, you know, and I've heard it before. Ministers get up and maybe all of them mention something about maybe the women should wear the dresses longer and something like that. But it's not in the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost anointing isn't there coming with that word. Amen. But my, when that comes with that word, look out. Amen. And if there's anything at all in that little person, there's going to be a cleaning out. Amen. It's going to say, "Amen, there it is." And I can't help one more thing. I just can't help but think and keep in mind again about the little woman at the well. How, knowing the prophet said, she was seed. The moment she seen that word, it didn't take 15,000 messages to convince it. But when you're trying to take the word and try to convince people to believe this message or it's right, they ain't got nothing to start with. If they got to be convinced and they've got to be showed and convinced and try to tell them, there's something wrong. If there's a seed laying on the inside, it'll strike. That's right. There's just something about it. You can't help it. It'll hit. He said, "Well, how do you know?" Because I have experienced it. Amen. Amen. I'm firsthand experience at it. Amen. When the word of God came at the right time, bang, there it was. You see? Struck. Glory to God. Nobody had to convince me Brother Branham was the prophet of the age. No, sir. From the first time I was old enough to start listening, there was something about that. The moment I heard it, I don't care. I was that big, but nobody could tell me Brother Branham wasn't the prophet of this age. That's right. Oh, I didn't know all about it, but there was nobody going to tell me he wasn't the prophet of this age and wasn't God using him. Right. But today, people, older people in the message for years still can't hardly believe he was really who he was and who really used him. It was God. They still can't. They're still tossed and driven and this, that, and the other. But, oh, they're following the message faithfully. Glory to God. They're just, you know, coming to church and listening to Brother Bram's tapes and all kinds of things faithfully. Oh, but there's not nothing genuine on the inside. Oh my, but when there's something on the inside, that little seed laying in there, amen, it's going to strike, friend. Amen. And that word comes forth, it's amen. 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 Glory, hallelujah. Like I said, there might be a time you don't quite get something right off, but that's why the Holy Ghost will bring it back again. But I'll guarantee you're not sitting there, "I don't believe it. I don't believe it." You're sitting there saying, "Lord, help me to understand amen. This. Lord, I want to believe this. There's something amen. About this, you see." Amen. Amen. You've got an open heart. And you're ready for God to reveal it to you. You're crying out for revelation. Amen. Isn't he wonderful? Amen. He's so wonderful amen. To us. Glory to God. Let's sing a little chorus as we dismiss. Let's sing a little chorus. "Isn't he wonderful?" Now, you really think he is?
Amen.
That's a simple little chorus. But he is very wonderful. Amen. Amen. Isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Eyes have seen, ears have heard, thus recorded in God's word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Oh, isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Seen, ears have heard, thus recorded in God's word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Well, eyes have seen, ears have heard, thus recorded in God's word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful?
Amen. Heavenly Father, we ask that you just bless us as you already have. Just continue to bless us. Pull on our heartstrings, Lord, to draw closer to you. And Lord, keep us in that word above everything. Lead us and guide us by thy sweet Holy Spirit, and bring us back if you should tarry, Lord, the next appointed time, again, Lord, crying out for revelation of the word of God, and we will give you all the glory and the honor. How wonderful you are, Lord. Amen. Isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Eyes have seen, ears have heard, thus recorded in God's word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? You're dismissed. God bless you. Amen. Glory.